Support for Classical Music According to Yehuda comes from the Lathrop Communities, serving older adults in the Quaker tradition for over 25 years, offering independent living on two campuses in Northampton and East Hampton, Massachusetts. Lathrop.Kendall.org. In this week's Classical Music According to Yehuda, Alan Shartok and Yehuda Hanani begin a series of conversations about women who influenced composers. Today, Yehuda shares scandalous stories about the life of Alma Mahler.
Hi, Yehuda. As always, thanks for coming by and educating me about classical music. I do have a question, however. We've been talking a lot about women composers in the past, but obviously there are women who have tremendous imprint on their, what happens with their husbands and their work and their output. Maybe we can talk about that a little bit.
I think that's a wonderful idea, Alan. You know, we spent weeks dedicating our segments to women who were composers from ancient Greece. We started with Sappho, through the Middle Ages, all the way to our own modern time. But women also inspired great works in order to set the record straight and to have a balanced menu here. I think we should talk a little bit about male composers who were influenced by women who were responsible for some of their greatest works. So as a transitional figure, I chose a femme fatale. She was not a great composer by any means, but she wrote some music. She was seductive, and she was quite loathsome, I'm afraid.
How do we know she was seductive?
Wait till you hear the story. She was married to Gustav Mahler.
Oh, you're talking about Alma.
I'm talking about Alma, Alan.
Everybody knows about her. Tom Lehrer made her very famous.
You're going
famous.
To learn some new things about Alma today. Her greatest claim was not as a composer, but her fame was that she was, between 1902 and 1929, was married to the greatest representatives of all the arts in Europe. Music was Mahler. Architecture was Walter Gropius.
Gropius, of course.
And literature, Franz Werfel.
Werfel.
Not to mention numerous lovers, including Oskar Kokoschka, who was a great painter.
No, he I didn't know about.
Yeah. So, and many, many others. But these were great trophies, of course. In 1918, Oskar Kokoschka, the Austrian painter, commissioned a doll maker in Munich to create a life-size doll of Alma Mahler, his former lover who ditched him 4 years earlier. This was a true-to-life doll with all the parts, mind you, if you know what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean.
When this doll failed as an erotic playing mate, he kept it as an inspirational object for his art. You can ask Roselle. She will tell you because she is an artist. There are a lot of paintings and drawings of this sex doll, of this Alma Mahler duplication in Kokoschka's work.
Yeah. So what does this have to do with classical music?
Wait a second. Some of these paintings are she's dressed. Some of them she's naked. Finally, he got tired of this doll.
Oh boy.
And he decided to give it a send-off champagne party with chamber music, which lasted through the night. The Alma doll was exhibited, and then when dawn broke towards morning, he beheaded it and in his garden outside of the house and broke a bottle of red wine over its head. You can imagine.
Was Alma wasn't present, of course.
No, of course not. No. But you can imagine the police showing up, seeing a dead body with among the bushes. So I'm telling you this story, this insane action, to illustrate how strongly people felt about Alma Mahler and the presence of both lust and loathing among the feeling that people had for her. Now, why? What was her power? Theodore Adorno called her the monster. Another contemporary said she was a grande dame and a cesspool at the same time. A famous herpetologist, that's a man who is a reptile expert, by the name of Paul Kammerer, used to sniff chairs on which she had recently sat.
That's disgusting.
It is. And threatened to shoot himself on Mahler's grave. Okay? She was aggressively coquettish. She grew up in a bohemian household. Her father was a landscape painter. His name was Schindler. And she was a master in manipulating and weaving webs of illusion. She was vain, she was capricious, perverse. She had a fanatical hatred of the working class. And in spite of her marriages and affairs with Jews, she was anti-Semitic.
I knew that. Yeah.
In her diary, she wrote, "I could not live without Jews. Indeed, I constantly live with them. But I have so much resentment toward them."
Mm.
Go figure.
This lady was screwed up.
Ah, but she screwed up a lot of lives around her. About Werfel, the great German writer, she said, "Werfel doesn't know German. No Jew knows German." And when their son died, she was still married to Gropius, but she was already sleeping with Werfel. She knew, according to her theory, that it was Werfel's son because she blamed it on his degenerate genes.
Yeah.
The death of the child. So, years later, living in the U.S. already, she did not change. Before her death, she died in 1964, she was diagnosed with diabetes, but refused to accept it. "Impossible," she said. "Diabetes is a Jewish disease, and I am a healthy Aryan." You can only imagine how all these affairs and marriages blew up sooner or later, and how much agony they caused those who were caught up in her web.
Alan Chartok and Yehuda Hanani discussing Alma Mahler. Next week, we'll hear some of her music compared with that of her more famous and talented composer husband, Gustav. To learn about Yehuda's Close Encounters with Music series in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, visit cewm.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.